Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yud Beis Be'iyar, Tav Shinayin Hey, Parashas Emor, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 30 April 2015, webcasting from the nuclear core of human history. Sometimes it seems as if human history, so much of it at least, revolves around the land of Israel and the sons of Israel, Jacob Israel. Without Israel, the people and the land, there would be no Christianity, no Christendom, no Christian history. And the spread of that faith via European empire builders who were seeking gold, glory, and the gospel, there would be no Islam, no Islamic history, no spread of that faith over much of the world's surface, from Morocco up and all the way east to the Southeast Asian countries and the Philippines. Without the existence of the children of Israel, there might have been a Second World War, which was the brainchild of Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, in his quest to seek out and murder every Jew in the world. Christians, unlike the Muslims, who verbally raped the text, rewrote the text as the Quran, and blamed the Jews for doing the rewriting, Christians held on to the Tanakh, probably the only religious text in history that focuses on sacrifices to the deity for the sins and guilt of man. On Yom Kippur, we were just reading about that, the high priest, before he deals with the sins and guilt of the community as a whole, must atone for his own sins as a human being. No infallibility for that religious leader. And because Christians held on to the Tanakh with its concepts of sin and guilt, after the Second World War, they could experience guilt and do something about it. The Roman Catholic Church revised its doctrine regarding the Jews. Christian-Jewish friendship societies came into being. Today, old-fashioned Jew hatred in Europe, and the telling of tales about alleged Jewish perfidy, is virtually extinct, the old style, that is. In its place, you have Palestinian nationalism, but that at least confines itself to realistic accusations, if not truthful ones, of crimes that don't happen, but could happen. For example, today's anti-Jews restrict themselves to lies about Israel stealing land and the wanton killing of ancient ones. But even this is progress when compared to history's list of magical, supernatural, irrational accusations, such as Jews sucking out Gentile blood, Jews poisoning a water supply, which never made sense since the Jews were dependent on the same supply, in the fantastic tales of imaginary Jewish powers. Today the West just lies. But not the Muslims. They remain enslaved, mired in the most primitive areas of the brain, of the mind, unable to free themselves from Dark Age images of Jews as devils and demons. They cannot face the reality of the Holocaust the way Christians have been able to do that. They just deny it. They deny that massive chapter in human history because it deals with the irrational hatred of Jews, since they suffer from the same crippling spiritual sickness. They must deny it rather than confront their own craziness, their own history of lunatic Jew hatred. Unfortunately for us in Israel, we remain faced by the same lunacy in the 21st century as in the 20th, only festering no longer in Europe, but in Islam. The Islam that surrounds us, the dominant culture of 550 million of our neighbors, the Arabs, the Turks, the Iranians. In mid-March in Turkey, a pro-Erdogan news channel broadcast a documentary called The Mastermind for the first time, and since then numerous other times, and it's featured on pro-government websites. Its purpose? To highlight the greatest threat to Sunni Turkey, which is not Shiite Iran next door. The threat is not the jihadi head choppers, kidnappers, and rapists in neighboring Iraq and Syria, and their presumptive soulmates inside Turkey, capable of domestic terror atrocities. It's not even the presumptive radical left, believed recently behind the assassination of a state prosecutor. No, Turkey's greatest threat is, according to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, in a speech in December, is the mastermind, his term, the name of this documentary film now. He said the target of the mastermind is Turkey's economy, its independence, unity, peace, stability. its very existence. Though in that speech he coyly went no further than identifying the mastermind. He asked of his audience, rhetorically, who is this mastermind? And I say it is for you to research this. But you know who it is, don't you? Close quote. Well, this documentary, which came out 4 months later, answers the mysterious question. This item, by the way, comes to you from the GateStoneInstitute.org site. It's an excellent source, particularly the reports from Turkey, like this one from their chief correspondent there, Burak Bekdil, which, by the way, seems to be the same first name as that of the President of the United States, only via the Turkish pronunciation. In any case, Bekdil writes this, quote, "The main theme of the film is the 3,500 years of Jewish domination of the world." And it has a focus on Rambam, Moses Maimonides, on the German-born American Jewish philosopher Leo Strauss, and on Charles Darwin, and never mind that the geniuses behind this documentary seem not to know that Darwin was not a Jew. The film opens with images of the Magen David, the Star of David, and the temple in Jerusalem. Quote, "The mastermind, whose roots go back thousands of years, who rules, burns, destroys, starves the world, creates wars, organizes revolutions and coups, establishes states within states. The mind of the mastermind is not only Turkey's curse, but the curse of the whole world. The story begins when Moses brought his people out of Egypt to Jerusalem. The only guide he had was the Ten Commandments. We have to look for the mastermind in Jerusalem, where the sons of Israel live." Close quote. The ignorance here is unforgivable and pathetic. Moses did not bring the children of Israel to Jerusalem. There's no reference specifically to Jerusalem in the five books of Moses. He died over 400 years before David declared Jerusalem the capital of this land of Israel. And as for Maimonides, they say he believed, quote, "The Jews are the masters, and all other people are to be their slaves." This is like the mention last week in a webcast of Voltaire and D'Holbach and a slew of other allegedly brilliant European thinkers who also on no rational basis popped off about the same alleged Jewish teaching of hate. The documentary shows interviews with other Turkish academics and writers who claim the Jews used Darwin's theory of evolution to claim that God created them, but everyone else evolved from apes, close quote. And never mind that such a magical transformation between men and apes, men and swine, is explicit in the Quran and nowhere in the Tanakh. And then an advisor to President Erdogan claims that all anti-government activities in Turkey are in fact attempts by the mastermind to bring down Turkey and its government. This would be like Valerie Jarrett or Susan Rice claiming that the Jews in America are behind all the criticism of the president. In other words, I'm telling you all this to make the point that Islam today has replaced Nazism as the primary vehicle of the kind of lunatic Jew hatred that has been our fate to endure for thousands of years. The Christian and post-Christian West may have moved on from its phantasmagorical belief in the supernatural evil of Jews to just lying about plausible evil, but not the Muslims. If this is how the powers that be in Turkey, like the regimes in Tehran and Riyadh and Damascus, Baghdad, Sana'a, we are faced with a sea of Islamic Jew hatred as potentially dangerous as any in our history. Any enemy in our history. I used to think that post-Holocaust, and with all the attention given to that horror over the last couple of decades, that kind of crazy Jew hatred was a thing of the past. Well, in light of Islam today, apparently not. Said Kohelet, the Book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun.
אנטום מלכה מלך מלכיה עובד גבורתך ותמהיה שפר קודם מחלה החוויה עובד גבורתך ותמהיה שפר קודם מחלה
חוויה ריבון עולם ועל מיד הוא מלכה מלך מלך מלכיה עובד גבותך ותמה ישף פר קודם מחלה החוויה צבחין עשדה צפה ורמשה לך אל ההק קדישה דברה כל נפשה עירים קדישים ובניהם נשה חברת ורבים חופש ומאיה עירים קדישים ובניהם נשה חברת ורבים חופש ומאיה ריבון עולם ועל מיד הוא מלכה מלך מלך מלכיה עובד גבותך ותמה ישף פר קודם מחלה החוויה
רב רבין עובדך ותקיפין מחיכם היה וזקיף כפיפין לו יחיה גבר שנין אלפין לא יעול גבודר בחוש בניה לו יחיה גבר שנין אלפין לא יעול גבודר בחוש בניה ריבון עולם ועל מיין הוא מלכה מלך מלך מלכה עובד גבודך ותמה ישף פר קודם מחלה החוויה אל ההדילה יקרוב אותה פירות יחד נחמים כומר יבטה והפק יתמך מגור גלותה עמך דיבך מכל מאיה והפק יתמך מגור גלותה עמך דיבך מכל מאיה ריבון מלאם ועל מאיה אמרו מלכה מלך מלך מחיה עובד יבודך ותמה ישף פר קודם מחלה החוויה
שייך טובים קודש קודשים אתר דיווי יחדון רוחים ונחשים ויזמרון לך שירים ורחשים לירושלם קרתה דש ופריה ויזמרון לך שירים ורחשים לירושלם קרתה דש ופריה ריבון עולם ועל מיין הוא מלכה מלך מלך מלכיה עובד יבודך ותמה ישף פר קודם מחלה
שבת שלום.
שבת שלום.
Well, unfortunately, picking up on the idea of the magnitude and quality of contemporary anti-Jew lunacy, which is no different from centuries past, and the Western democracies, the enlightened, are still deaf and blind to the reality of Islam today as dangerous as Nazism. Take, for example, another Gatestone Institute report, this one from London, about the leader of the Labour Party these days, facing general elections a week from today, Ed Miliband, who is appealing to Muslim voters by telling them that when elected, he will make Islamophobia an aggravated crime. Quote, "We're going to make sure it is marked on people's records with the police to make sure they root out Islamophobia as a hate crime. We're going to change the law on this so we can make absolutely clear our abhorrence of hatred and Islamophobia. It will be the first time that the police will record Islamophobic attacks right across the country," close quote. Well, there are some 1 million Muslims in the country over 18 now, and their votes may have a major impact on the election results. In any case, this story also goes to show, if we had any doubts, what a horse's hindquarters Ed Miliband is. Some critics consider his remarks, quote, utterly frightening. A columnist and renegade, I think, from the Labour Party, Leo McKinstry, says, quote, "Miliband's proposal goes against the entire tradition of Western democracy, which holds that people should be punished for their deeds, not their opinions," close quote. Others have expressed fears that Miliband's policy could lead to making Islam's blasphemy law, its Sharia law, into British law. No criticism of Islam allowed. And Miliband, it turns out, is another Robert Malley type, who we reported on last webcast, the spawn of anti-Jewish heretics who reject the theory and praxis of Yiddishkeit and see themselves as citizens of the world who have transcended what Marx called the opiate of the masses. Such types, I think, are living in a dream world. If Miliband really accepts the Orwellian nonsense of the word Islamophobia, he's a fool, an idiot, and therefore a danger to the UK and the rest of what's left of decadent Western civilization. Unlike the word homophobia, which smears those opposed to sodomy as bigots, Islamophobia was invented initially to steal from the Jews. Muslims have suffered since the days of Islam's monstrous founder Muhammad, as a descendant of Ishmael, from a homicidal envy of the Jews. Islam is nothing but Judaism that's been stolen and perverted. So Muslims remain bitter against the resurrection of the barren wastes of Eretz Israel, as they had been under Islam. The turning of Eretz Israel into a vibrant and thriving reborn Jewish homeland. And they believe the Jews succeeded only because of their lies about a Holocaust that never happened, that the Jews have used to make the world feel guilty. Hence, every May 15 here, they commemorate the Nakba, the catastrophe of the rebirth of the ancient Jewish people, here thanks to the Nazis, and so they invented an ancient Palestinian people who also suffered a Holocaust, a Nakba catastrophe, a persecution at the hands of Nazi-like Zionists, in the belief this will win them identical support for a state, just like the Jews received. The Jews had their history of anti-Semitism, and so Muslims are victims of a similar historic phenomenon called Islamophobia, an irrational fear of Muslims to compete with the irrational fear and persecution of Jews. So rather than pander like Ed Miliband to Muslims by stoking their sense of grievance and injustice at the hands of Islamophobes who have no rational excuse for hating them, Miliband might address them with the truth that there is no phobia when it comes to Islam. Fearing Islam is not irrational. It's quite rational. Since the late 1960s, Muslims have perpetrated literally tens of thousands of homicidal terrorist atrocities all over the place. So fear of this religion is not groundless. But a loser like Miliband doesn't want to see things that way. This betrayer of the Jewish people that he was born into by taking the sides of this generation's Jew killers is also, with an attitude like his, betraying the UK he grew up in and now wants to lead. This is no time for pandering to Muslims. It's time to stand up to them, draw a line in the dirt, and say this far and no further. Henceforth, the UK is going to fight back against the creeping Islamization of the realm. And wouldn't it be great if Queen Elizabeth, nominal head of the Church of England, would also say something about what is happening to her country and its culture? I know the British crown must stay out of politics, but this goes beyond politics to the life of the people of the UK. Europeans in general have simply got to overcome their fears and fight back. In this regard as well, there was a disturbing news item out of France today where the surviving Charlie Hebdo cartoonist named Luz has announced that he will no longer do caricatures of Muhammad. Claimed the subject no longer interests him. But he says the Islamists did not win. He also attacked the far right for trying to stir up hatred of Islam. Yeah. He says the topic no longer interests him. And the extremists have not won. Of course they've won. This man sounds scared to death.
נסתרה.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, here on the home front, the menace of Islam as this generation's successor to age-old Jew hatred and 20th century Nazism continues to percolate. Palestinian Media Watch reported yesterday on a PATV interview with a Fatah spokesman, one Osama al-Qawasmi. Now, remember, Fatah is that moderate, peace-loving outfit, according to the Oslo criminals. And he said that Israeli behavior and policy towards Gaza is right out of the protocols of the Elders of Zion and its plan to conquer the world. This is exactly what Hitler believed 70 years ago. No change, not an iota of difference. And how unfortunate that official Israel never points this out. PATV also interviewed recently a professor at the branch of Al-Azhar University in Gaza, which the naive and ignorant Israelis allowed to open in the 1980s in the mistaken belief that Muslim pietists were like Haredi anti-Zionists, not political, and less of a threat from the PLO. I deal with this big mistake in my book. In this case, this Dr. Ibrahim Abrash, a professor of political science, said Zionism is just like Judaism, according to which Jews are permitted to steal from Gentiles. Locally, that has meant denying the existence of the Palestinians and claiming the right to steal their land, said the professor. One of these days, God willing, Israelis will overcome whatever psychological and philosophical blocks they may suffer from and learn to speak the truth about our neighbors. Their Palestinian identity has been a smokescreen. Underneath, they remain the same Muslims they were when their leader, Haj Amin, for 40 years denied there was such a country as Palestine, and addressed them all in Islamic terms exclusively, precisely because he had no concept of a Palestinian nation. And this is why last week in student elections held in Beer Zeitz, a so-called university, and in the Palestine Polytechnic and Annajach, which is another so-called university in Nablus, in which Hamas candidates soundly defeated Fatah candidates across the board. Then afterwards, not surprisingly, PA police arrested droves of Hamas student activists. It's always this way in schools there, and has been, I think, for decades. The Islamists always win elections in the PA elections, as they did in 2006, when they swept Fatah. 75% of the council was Hamas. And that's because Fatah is a pseudo-Western-style nationalist outfit, which, because there's nothing Palestinian about the Palestinians, is empty of all substance. Since there's no Palestinian history with historic heroes and battles and accomplishments, Palestinian nationalism is nothing versus the Islamists, who have 1,400 years of Islam and belief to draw upon. One of these days, God willing, Israel will speak the truth about these successors to the Nazis as inveterate Jew haters and shine a light on the religious hatred that fuels their monstrous violence against us and really the entirety of Western civilization. I may be one of the few writers on the Phantom Palestinians who know that the very name Fatah is Islamist, and therefore the entirety of the Palestinian national movement is a false front for Islam.
נוסעים לרבי הקדוש על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי הקדוש על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה וציווה לעשות קרוז שכל מי ששר אל משמעתו ומקורב אליו יהיה על ראש השנה אצלו, לא יחסר איש.
Last item, a depressing news story on the political front here. Netanyahu has won a coalition agreement from Moshe Kahlon, who will be not only Minister of the Treasury, which I don't mind, but he will be able to veto the Jewish identity legislation others have been trying to pass as a bulwark against the creeping multiculturalism affecting too many of Israel's post-Jews as they go even further away from their people and become indistinguishable from the rest of the decadent West. Kahlon will also be able to block any change in the way the High Court takes in new judges. Well, all yours truly can do is shake his head on both counts. I guess Bibi, in caring, and rightly so, about the Iran threat above all ours, is not ready to fight for those important causes, which is a pity. I guess we'll just have to wait for a better time to upgrade this governmental and judicial system and install these new needed improvements. Okay, that's it for tonight. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. So, until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Me'eretz Yisrael.